And welcome to the program, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, here with you on Sunday evening. There's always so much. I always know there's a good show when I get feedback, a little hate mail. I always know that that people have, I've hit a nerve. So if you missed it yesterday, get the podcast. Go to samnation.com and get current. So I hate Facebook. I absolutely hate Facebook. And I think the more room you give people to rant, I mean, Twitter's bad enough, but at least you're limited to a fixed number of characters. Because you have friends, you go on Facebook and really Facebook should have been all about kids, you know, and pictures and videos of dogs doing cute stuff. And maybe, you know, a tortoise, you know, I don't know, eating something. But really what you have is you get Facebook and people post all their pains. But the best part, I guess the best part for me is to use Facebook as a way to get a temperature read on what people are saying, especially people, you know, in my extended group of friends. And you know this. You probably go on Facebook and you read everybody's rants or you skim them and you immediately make your opinion of somebody and put them over in a category and you move on. Because, you know, you have a job to do and a family and you're too busy to engage silly people online. And I will tell you, though, during the entire Republican primary, there is a group of traditional Republicans, a traditional stalwarts in the Republican Party, always counted on for their loyal support of the Republican nominee. And those would be, well, it's a group I know quite well, the Mormons. The Mormons, right, socially conservative, fiscally conservative, are a group of people, individuals that stress independence, strength, you know, take care of your family, provide for the community, be charitable, live cleanly. Even a tenet of the faith is to obey laws and follow directions of your, you know, authorities, both local and federal. Okay, so it's a thing, and as a group, it's interesting sociologically. This group always has supported Republicans, and this is an interesting group of people that right now are, and if you've got any Mormon friends, I'll explain to you later where this all fits in the big picture. But this is a group that is absolutely, I have no statistics. Although there are some good statistics out there, but this is just my group of Mormon friends on Facebook are just in arms. They are getting the vapors over Trump, the candidate, Trump, the Republican nominee. You would think that he have one cloven hoof or two and a bifurcated tail. And so much so that the other day, a friend, Facebook acquaintance of mine, posts up an article from an absolutely, how people, they post articles either to say this is BS, or they post articles saying yes, this, look at this, it validates me. And so she puts up this article in a kind of validating type way, and it's by Yvonne Abraham, who is this hack left-wing liberal nut job from the Globe, Boston Globe, a perennially defunct newspaper. With, you know, I think they just wrap fish and chips in it. I mean, that's what they use it for in Boston. You get the newspaper And you remove all the sheets and then you wrap cod, you know, battered cod in it. But at any rate, so this reporter was one of Mitt Romney's, you remember Mitty? Mitt Romney's most vocal critics. And Mitt, of course, being from originally from Michigan, but then made his way to Massachusetts, where he was governor, and ran on his gubernatorial record when he was trying to defeat Barack Obama, which he failed at spectacularly, and should now just sit down and shut up. But at any rate, there was no love lost between Mitt Romney and one Yvonne Abraham, or anyone, any of the editorial staff at the Boston Globe. They hated Mittens Romney because, you know why? Because Mitt was a Republican and he was a red guy in a blue state. And no matter how hard Mitt tried to go center left, and in some cases, left left, they never accepted him. So remember when they called Romney a flip-flopper, okay? And this all fits in with understanding where the media is coming from. And you know, on this program, we always like to talk about the media. I always want to explain to you why it's so important that you tune in. You've got to get your fill of sanity and reason, and this is your place for it. Because if you don't get it here, and you rely on these goofballs, right? You rely on people at the Boston Globe or the LA Times, you will be so uninformed that there'll be no helping you. You actually won't even know what's going on. So, but humor me. So we're talking about Mitt Romney, 2012, but even before 2012, but when he ran in 2012, running against Obama, and he's getting massacred in the press. And his hometown newspaper, the Boston Globe, who railed against him when he was governor, who attacked him, just beat him. You would think, I mean, honestly, you would have thought he was one of these coup soldiers in Turkey, where Erdogan is, you know, he's parading. Have you heard this? The failed coup, Turkey, you know, Erdogan's parading these soldiers around, putting them in naked piles that rivals Abu Ghraib. Anyway. Poor Mitt. I mean, and he tried so hard. Remember, he had to pivot right again when he ran for president. And that's where he earned that horrible, horrible nickname, flip-flopper. You remember that? Remember when everybody was, you know, Obama was piling on, especially Obama. Flip-flop Mitt. So Mitt Romney ends up just... He just ends up devastated by the fact that he's changed his position. But he pivoted left in Massachusetts and still didn't get any love and affection. And now, this article that is posted up by a Mormon friend who shall go unnamed, put up as a, oh, you see, you see, you see, you see. Title, I'm So Sorry, Mitt Romney. And it's all about this left-wing nut job reporter, opinion columnist. So she's a reporter, but really she's an opinion columnist, right? That's what these people are. A giant open apology, open letter apology to Mitt for all the mean and nasty things she said to him because, in her own words, she feels awful about it because now that your party, well, I gotta get to the quote, the meat of it. Now that your party has nominated an ignorant narcissist for president, Trump, his vile rhetoric has brought racists, anti-Semites, misogynists out in the open. Oh yeah, are these like the people writing the DNC emails making fun of black people and gays? Is that who you mean, Yvonne? I digress. Our political discourse, she goes on to lament, has not been this base in decades. It's difficult to fathom, but the folks who nominated you just 4 years ago are now willing to have this orange study in amorality yell, "You're fired!" at nuclear missiles. Okay, and I'm not going to bother you with the rest of this article. It's total drivel. The best part about it for me in it is that she apparently tried to call him to apologize in person and he shooed her away, which I think is awesome. But where am I with this? Okay, so here's what happens time and time again, because Obama gave a really telling interview about Trump last week. And if you missed it, I'm going to talk about it a little bit today. And the gist of the interview is, I'm worried, and I actually have to address Trump in real terms, because they're all sweating it right now. They realize that Trump is catching up and in many cases beating Hillary in the polls. But in the interview that Obama gave to Savannah Guthrie at NBC News, he said, this is Obama. He recalled that when he was the one on the ticket in 2008 running against Arizona Senator John McCain and Mitt Romney in 2012, there wasn't the same level of backbiting. And here's the thing. Here's I want to talk about a little bit today is it's funny to me to listen to Democrats, leftist liberals, whine about who they want as an opponent. And the takeaway from all of this is they want an opponent that's going to lay down, roll over, put their feet up, and go, "Mercy!" And when the guy doesn't do it, they yell racist, bigot, misogynist, and complain how the political discourse has turned to crap. So when we come back, I want to talk about why Obama is sweating. And trust me, there is perspiration on his brow. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Attorney James Bergener. I get the best news and information for the week from Sam Nation every weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, 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 yes. The Democrats love Republicans that lay down, you get a nice little Republican. You can just kind of scratch him behind the ear and he goes. And we all know it. You know, I do I name names? You know, you've got these supposedly conservative radio hosts, talk show, news media personalities. And yeah, and they and they truly, you know, watch them because they are so desperate to be loved by the left-wing people, you know, and it's seductive, you know, because life is good when you're at CNN. I mean, it's posh. It's good stuff. I know this, you know, at the RNC, we were shunted off to a little radio booth, you know, a tiny little, I thought I was selling Girl Scout cookies, what it felt like. But there were no Girl Scout cookies. So that was the big shortcoming of it. And down the hall from us was this beautiful shining set of CNN. And, oh yeah, no, life is good over there. And they had their own snack bar. CNN brought its own snack bar and a coffee maker. Oh, coffee, right? But food and hot food. And they had a little heating oven for little sandwiches, little paninis, you know. And they set up little bar stools and everything. I mean, that's life over there. And so I'm always suspicious of any commentator. Okay, so if I start with a discredited person, if I start with a David Gregory type or a Wolf Blitzer or a Savannah Guthrie or any of these nincompoops, right? If I start with one of these people and they start praising a guy that supposedly is on the right and should be more common sense and presents himself as a common sense person, right? I'm not an ideologue, but I'm a Republican, but I see both sides, you know, which you ought to. You got to see both sides. You've got to be a reasonable person. You've got to have a brain first and party affiliation second or third or fourth or whatever, you know. So, but I'm always suspicious of when they get too much cred, too much love from people who I know are insane. And I got to reach over here deep in my stack of stuff to bring out a great timely example of this. Pardon me. So, yes, here it is. And this was Scarborough. And where is this? No, Joe Scarborough. He's a MSNBC host. Also a former congressman. And, you know, he was, where is this? I'll get to it in a minute here. It's good. But before so Scarborough is he, they all miss it. Even a guy like Scarborough totally misses the point. Scarborough, here's the headline, hails excitement of DNC over, quote, sleepwalking RNC. And talks about the obvious excitement at the Democratic National Convention. I don't know what he's talking about as far as excitement. I mean, there, in one sense of the word, yes, there is chaos. There is dissent. There is booing. There is shouting. There is hissing. It sounds like a catfight. And, you know, I'm sorry, Joe, if you thought that the overall civility of the RNC was boring. But, you know, he's just doing this to cater to the crowd. And I see, you know, we're talking about media types that, you know, and Republicans who Democrats like and who Democrats approve of. And Obama's interview with Savannah Guthrie, and he's talking about this past races, you know, and running against McCain and running against Romney. And he's lamenting how, boy, you know, those guys, that was good running against them because they were good guys and they showed respect. You know what? You know how absurd that statement is? You remember how vile Obama and his team were to Romney? And let's go even back a little bit further. Remember McCain? You know that a staffer on Obama's team, okay? On Obama's team hacked Sarah Palin's emails. Did we forget this? And, you know, where was the outrage? I mean, you know, our world's upside down talking about Trump making his joke that the Russians should, you know, deliver some presents to us and find Hillary Clinton's missing 30,000 emails, which incidentally, she claims were about yoga and her wedding, but really might have contained some important business that was subject to the Freedom of Information Act and being recorded and being stored and kept in a proper, safe way. So unlike Sarah Palin's personal email of her as a candidate and even before she was, you know, a national public figure. That was fine. I mean, nobody challenged the guy on it. Nobody said, oh, that's terrible. In fact, I believe it was Politico hired a team of 20 people to parse through those emails. Nobody said, you know, that's private. We got to leave that alone. I mean, the things that Obama said to Rom, I mean, my favorite quote, and I went through all the old quotes of things that Obama was pinning on Romney, but the best part was, you're the last person who could get tough on China. Well, that's, how great is that? Because who's tough on China now? The problem is it's easy. I look at Romney as the ultimate failed candidate. I'm hoarse right now, and I know what you're thinking. I was yelling at my TV last night, but really it was just a Saturday night of entertaining people and keeping people up to speed on what's going on in the world. You know, my job doesn't just end when I get off air. You know, I have to continue my public service even when I'm away from the microphone. So forgive me if I sound a little bit hoarse. I'm currently curing it with some hot tea. But here I am, and using the remains of my voice to tell you that Romney was a failed candidate. And you know all my Mormon friends that I talked about last segment? I talked about how they're posting up this article. I've seen a number of places, but one friend in particular posted an article about a reporter at the Boston Globe who's written an open letter apology to Romney for all the mean things she said, because you know what? Now this orange orangutan, you know, this guy is just the worst. And these good, conservative, reasonable, normal, you know, law-abiding people who couldn't be the farthest thing from Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary Clinton is a vile, law-breaking piece of work. And these people are... these are the kind of people you want as neighbors. Honestly, trust me. I mean, these are just great salt-of-the-earth people. And they're still stuck on Romney. And they're so happy that the left is finally, that this left-wing reporter has finally apologized to Romney, because they've finally seen the light and now they're reasonable and they're letting this reporter validate their own feelings about, you know, and they're defensive. I get it. Romney's one of their own. And this brings me to an important point. This election is not going to be about identity. It's not who we are as a country. The Democrats make this all about identity, and unfortunately, some loser Republicans are doing the same thing. I submit to you that Dumbo from New Mexico, Susana Martinez. Okay, when you introduce yourself on the floor of the Republican National Convention and say, "My name is Governor Susana Martinez, and I am the first Latina governor ever elected in the history of the universe." Okay, nobody gives a crap. You know what I care about? I care about that you're good at what you do, that you've got good ideas, that you've got a thinking, sentient brain, that you're reasonable. I don't give a flying rat's rear end what color your skin is, or that you're a Latina. I don't care. And our objective as a country is not to care. And it's really a shortcoming of people to identify. You know, I can't identify. Mitt was my guy. He was my Mormon guy. I love Mitt. And I love him. And I love Hillary. She's a woman. Oh, she's a woman. Yes. And it's funny because, you know, there's some takeaway. Bernie got supporters across the spectrum, and he didn't have to play the old grumpy Jew card. Well, yo, he never did. He say, "I am the first old grumpy Jew running for president." He didn't.
It's. We say things. I'm going to always say things how it is. All right. So I don't, you know, send me the hate mail.
And that we can't. It's not about that. We have two political parties. I'm sorry, Gary Johnson, two political parties in America. And those are big tent parties. And we are a multiracial society. That is a fact. We come in all sorts of shades. We're like a Vista paint store, okay? And you can't go, "Oh, I'm a Latina, I'm a Mormon, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a Jew, I'm a that." It doesn't matter. Tell me who you are. And the minute that Hillary is running as a woman, and this whole breaking the glass ceiling thing, it's such you. The minute that she's running on identity politics, I see a losing proposition, because we did it once before, Obama, and didn't work. So when we come back,
I think Batman got pulled over by the cops. Well, at least based on some traces that he left behind. Back after this, I'll tell you all about it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC with doing the show today, Sunday, with half my vocal cords out of commission. But, you know, hey, they went to a good cause, defending this good country, democracy, freedom, our very way of life. Speaking of which, there is a guy, he's getting chased by the cops. What does he do? Well, I'll tell you, you know, we always talk about here things to do and not to do when you get pulled over by the police. And, there's a do's and don'ts. One of the don'ts, do not throw a Batman-shaped ninja star, otherwise known as a batarang, at a police officer. Yes, man arrested in Seattle had thrown one of Batman's iconic bat-shaped weapons at a cop car. The 23-year-old man threw the batarang at police officers. I didn't even know this batarang thing was a thing. I mean, Missy, have you ever heard of a batarang? Rob, okay, Rob's nodding, but he has some very strange sexual proclivities, so. Well, anyway, the guy first threatened a bouncer, which, you know, that's never a good way to go. And, well, well, you know, and with what? With a homemade spear, of all things. So, which consisted of a knife attached to a metal pole. And after catching him, police found a sharp, black, Batman-style throwing star embedded in the front of their SUV. The Dark Knight wannabe was charged with felony assault. You can't make this stuff up. And I know Seattle's a nice place, so, but this, you know, people do crazy things out on the road. Do you feel like road rage incidents are going up, by the way? I was driving the other day back from LA, and I tell you, there's a lot of angry people out on the road. And I think it's all the people that are unhappy with the direction this country's going. But regardless of what it is, it could be that on the road somewhere near you is a psychopath or is somebody who's not paying attention, or they're playing Pokemon Go, or they're doing something other than paying attention to the way they should be driving. And smash, boom, bang, there you go. You just got hit. And what do? There's only one thing to do. You got to call Sweet James Bergener. He's the only attorney that really cares, puts his heart into his cases, into his clients, making sure that your rights are protected. And you know, you might be thinking, hey, the insurance company, they're going to take care of me. They'll make sure I'm okay. And the reality is, no, they don't. They won't. Because what insurance companies care about are their profits and their margins. And when they pay money out on claims, that's less money for them to distribute to their shareholders. Not good. So protect yourself. Call Sweet James. You'll really like him. You'll realize why we call him that. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right. And thank you. Thank you for enduring my voice today. My apologies. My poor, long-suffering wife needs to probably... would benefit. She's really going to enjoy me being hoarse tonight. I'll be doing a lot of listening. Remember yesterday I talked to you about my friend whose girlfriend was all bent out of shape about the Bachelorette being sidelined. Yeah, the Bachelorette was preempted. It was by the DNC convention. So maybe I'm going to have to put in some time on Chick TV tonight. I don't know. Well, hopefully not. And thank goodness my wife doesn't like The Bachelorette, because that would probably end in divorce. Anyway, look, this is interesting. What's going on right now? The post DNC roundup, right? We got the big convention, and one of the most telling. We're talking about this interview with that Obama did with Savannah Guthrie at NBC, and Obama actually admitted in this interview that he's seen weirder things during his 20 years in elected office than a Trump win. Think about that. You know, I could swear that 2 weeks ago, the general tune, the general music leaving the Camp Obama was no chance, no how. Trump is a carny. You know, the conventional wisdom. I mean, come on, everybody knows this is not going anywhere. And yesterday I made the point, the great irony of what happened last week. You know, get the podcast, because we went through it. But the great irony of last week is that the Democratic Party picked a candidate that is not the one the base wanted. And the Republican Party, the one that's getting lambasted for having lost its way and wandering in the wilderness and all that jazz, they're the party that got the candidate that was selected by their base. And I began talking about in the last segment, before we had to take a time out, I began talking about what it's like when you have big tent parties. We are a giant nation, 300 million plus people. And we have two parties, two major parties at least. And so these parties have got to, I mean, we're not like Italy. We don't have 27 different little parties that all represent little factions. We have big parties, and they, yes, there is going to be a lot of different opinions in the Republican tent. And there are going to be a lot of different opinions in the Democratic tent. But picking a candidate, you've got to go to the voice, the dominant voice in each tent, or the at least the majority or plurality of that tent. And what they did now, and I think they're sweating it. I think they're realizing that all this fake unity, you know, I call Hillary, what is it? You know, Kim Jong-il. You know, I was saying the Democratic Convention reminds me of a Pyongyang rally. Yeah, it's North Korea propaganda, because they're filling all the empty seats with fakies. And you know, North Korea, they've got those show villages. You know, the whole country is starving. They're basically eating each other. But, you know, if you stand on the very healthy, successful side of the border where they have something called capitalism, you heard it here, Bernie Sanders. Anyway, you know, you stand on the South Korean side looking at North Korea, you know, they've got these show villages. They build fake cities that look nice. And in many times, the buildings just have a facade and there's no back. It's like something out of Universal Studios. It's like the backlot tour. And so, yeah, that's right. It really is. And that's it. It's all show. It's all optics. Well, and that is, folks, that is the Democratic Party. It's just optics obsessed. And the Republican Party can't go down that path either. And that's why I excoriated by just the moment that sticks out in my mind, I mentioned it last segment, was when Susana Martinez of New Mexico gets up there and starts telling everybody how she's the first Latina governor. And it's kind of a sad thing, because as soon as you start to say you're the first, and then you have to go through all these qualifiers, first female Hispanic, you know, governor, the more qualifiers, the first female Hispanic one-legged, you know, cyclops governor. I mean, do you realize how absurd this is going to be? But Sam, you're being absurd. These are trailblazers. Trailblazers? Really? I mean, you think it's a trailblazing event to become a Latino governor or a Latina governor in New Mexico? Maybe. But you should never celebrate your success based on your identity. Because it takes away and diminishes your personal success, your personal contribution to that success, the substance of your success. There is a terrific documentary that was put out by ESPN on OJ. And I won't get into it now, but the big lament is, you know, the black community, it goes through the history of OJ before the fateful events. And the lament of the black community that OJ didn't identify as black. And OJ, to that criticism, responds, "The reason I like football, the reason I love football, is because in football, you're not judged by your race. You're judged by what you can do with the ball. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're white. It's how many yards you can rush. It's how far you can throw the ball. That's what matters." And it's crazy to me that in a nation that is so sports obsessed as ours, where it's all about results, is the team winning? Is the quarterback performing? Is the forward on a basketball team, is he scoring? That's what we all tune in for, millions and millions and millions of us every week. Well, maybe not me, but other people. So, and then we turn around and we go, oh yes, Latina governor. Oh yes, first black president. Oh yes, oh yes. Let's be done with it. Let's get over it. It's time to move forward. And a lot of young people I know agree with me. And a lot of older people agree with me. In fact, just all get over it. All right. A few more observations. Stay tuned. Don't want to miss our last segment here. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm James Bergener, and I'm listening to Sam Nation right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Don't worry, it's really me. I know. I realize that I sound like I've got a bit of a bronchial thing going on. It's really just too much talking, which might surprise you. I know. But we're talking about the Democratic convention a little bit, and just some general observations about this country and who we are and who we're not, and talking about identity politics. And so I joked last segment that there, you know, you're going to start to really break down these groups if you really pursue this identity politicking to an extreme, you will end up with the most absurd little subgroups there ever were, and it's just we're all going to have our little categories instead of being Americans. And in fact, one of the things I really, really enjoyed about Peter Thiel's speech is when he got up there at the Republican National Convention and he says, "Look, I'm proud to be gay. I'm proud to be a Republican. But most of all, I'm proud to be a Republican. But most of all, I'm proud to be an American." Okay. That's exactly right. And I think eventually we're going to be at a place where we don't even care about gay or straight. We don't care about black or white. But we're not going to get there if we keep highlighting it, if we keep adding it as our title. Sam Rogowski, white dude. It's just, you know, it's not good. It's just, I just want to be an American. Can I do that? Anyway, part of this I bring up too, just to point out another absurd moment from the convention, was when Demi Lovato, you know her. Anyway, but insufferable human that needs, it's, I have a whole list of people, shut up and sing, you know, come on, regale us with your acting, regale us with your voice, the way I'm regaling you right now with mine, and keep politics out of it, please. You're an entertainer. And yes, I'm talking to you, Sean Penn. So Demi Lovato and Missy, did you catch this? All right, wait, but first of all, let me ask, I'll ask you for an opinion. Do you like her? No, not a fan. Okay, well, Lovato gets up there, Demi Lovato gets up there and says, opens up her speech, like millions of Americans, I am living with mental illness. And I give her brownie points. Really, I do. I honestly, I got to tell you, to get up on stage in a room, no, not a room, in the Wells Fargo Center, filled with paid actors, supplied by the Democrat National Committee, and to get up in this room filled with obviously insane people and be the first to admit that you yourself are mentally ill, I think that that's, there's something there. So that moment, not to take away from it, but it's the victimhood celebrating, right? And we predicted this, that it was going to be an insufferable week of victims on parade. What is wrong with Trump? What is dark about Trump celebrating strength and success? Because, you know, it's one part of this is separating us into groups, but really the darker side of separating us into groups is parading people out there with their shortcomings, with their disabilities, turning them into victims. Because you know the gist of her speech. The gist of her speech, this isn't something I'm overcoming and you need to overcome it and we're all going to work on this and I'm going to be strong and I'm going to... The gist of her speech is, like many of you, I've got this problem and Hillary Clinton is my solution. The government is going to fix it for me. We need to raise taxes so there's more help for the mentally ill. Da, 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 da. And that is such a broken, phony narrative. Because, I know. Hillary, you know, it takes a village. It takes a village. You're right. Where was that village when it came to, I don't know, the VA? The VA is one giant, messed up, horrible village. It is. It's a closed ecosystem. It's a village. And it's in almost exact terms, a Democrat's wet dream. Because you have this entire structure, this entire cocoon of support for a group of people that need help, and that their only place they can go to for that help is within this bubble that's managed by government. And by government bureaucrats and costs billions of dollars. But the result is, of course, that it doesn't provide help for the little people. For the regular veterans that come in every day and wait in those horrendous lines to be taken care of. And there is a group that needs our help, that deserves it, because many of those injuries came from serving our country. And the absurdity, of course, is this is what happens at these Democratic conventions, not just this year, but 4 years ago and eight years ago and even before that. A parade of victims, people we need to help, and here's our agenda, and here's our policy. But it's really just a cynical ploy to increase the size of government, to just bloat the bureaucracy beast, to fill coffers of labor unions, right? Public sector labor unions that all benefit from more government employees. The more people they get hired, the more people that are unionized. Where do you think that labor money goes? Right back to the Democratic Party. It is basically one revolving door slush fund. You know, it's so transparent. But before we wrap it, I want to tell you one very interesting thing, which is obviously now we're Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, after Monday's revelations, or it's done, or Sunday night's revelations, she was done. Ousted, Donna Brazile is the interim chair. And Donna Brazile, Brazile nut, because she's crazy. Anyway, but she was Al Gore's campaign chair, I think, if I've got to remember. But anyway, you know, she was the interim chair of the Democratic Party, of the National Committee, last time there was a vacancy. Oh, when was that, Sam? I'll tell you. Back in 2011, there was a different campaign chair, and his name was Tim Kaine. Interesting, right? Name sounds familiar. Maybe he's Hillary's running mate. Oh, wait. Where did he come from? So obscure. I know he comes from Virginia, so he brings, you know, theoretically a swing state. But why Tim Kaine? Well, it's interesting because you've got to understand what happened when Wasserman Schultz got the boot. You would think that Wasserman Schultz was the most discredited person in that entire arena on day one of the convention. Egg on her face, toxic. And instead, do you know what happened? She gets the boot. She's going to serve out until the end of the convention, right? So until then, and then leaves. And upon her departure, right then and there on the first day of the convention, it is announced that she is going to join Hillary Clinton's campaign. And, you know, we always talk, we joke about optics and how much that matters, identity and all that. No, so this is the full circle back. The Democratic Party loves optics. And so you're going, but Sam, this is proof positive that they don't care about optics. They don't care about optics. Optics be damned. This is Hillary being a brave, trailblazing, pantsuit-wearing Kim Jong-il. Okay, wrong. She cares about the optics. Exactly about the optics. And the message she's sending is clear. Take care of me, and no matter what kind of storm comes down the pipe, what kind of mess you get yourself in, how bad it is, I will take care of you. And that message the Clintons have been propagating for 30 years. And it is why they are slick, smooth operators. And I suggest one more thing to you. And that is that it might, and I remembering back to 2011, which is not too far ago, the Senate race that Tim Kaine joined kind of opened up out of nowhere. And remember, this was after, this was just before Obama's reelection. Obama needed party unity. Obama needed things to be smooth. He needed to appease Hillary. He needed a unified front. And in 2011, things were not looking good for him. They weren't. Opinions, numbers, everything in the dumps. And so here's something you're not going to hear anywhere else. And that is that Tim Kaine, my opinion, and I put money on this, Tim Kaine got the DNC gig, got booted from the DNC gig, okay, to make way for Wasserman Schultz, who was a Clinton loyalist back in 2008, who needed to be taken care of, who needed to be brought in order to make peace with the Clinton wing. And now Hillary rewarded Tim Kaine with the vice presidency. So wrap your mind around that one. It's the Clintons. Anything's possible. Well, it's been another great day. I will see you here next Saturday, this Saturday, actually, 3 p.m. KABC Talk Radio 790. Get the podcast. Visit samnation.com. Have a great week. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.